Hello, Voltron fans, and welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Voltron After Show. We are looking at Season 2, Episodes 5 and 6, Eye of the Storm and the Ark of Tajir, and we have a very special guest with us. We will see you after the opening, and team, it's time to form Voltron!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV! And now, let the buzz begin!
I would like to thank Twitter for choosing this opening song in our poll tonight.
Can I chime in on that? Thanks.
Yes. This is a good choice.
The other option for those of you wondering was Every Breath You Take by The Police, but this is, I think, the better option, Blondie's One Way or Another.
Duh.
And that's because we had an entire episode of Zarkon from Nowhere. That's what it is. The dump. You cannot escape the dumpster fire.
Do you think he hums this to himself, like, as the body pauses?
Every time they start going into, like, hyperspeed, he's just like...
I mean, people hums the Jaws theme.
People in the... That's when he's actually there.
You know, people in the Steven Universe chat right before this were talking about, you know, Zarkon needing to have his own villain song, and I think this is it.
That's good.
Yeah.
I want to hear Neil Kaplan sing this in the Zarkon voice.
Oh my god, someone start that, like, hashtag Neil Blondie or something. I don't know. Hello. I almost said hello, Zarkon fans. We all are, let's be real.
Wait. Hello, Voltron.
That was a different
show.
That's
amazing. On the Steven Universe After Show that literally just happened, instead of saying hello, Steven Universe fans, Katie just goes, hello, Steven Universe.
In my defense, it had been 2 months since we've done the Steven Universe show. We should get this ball rolling. I'm trying so hard.
Oh my god.
Welcome back to the Voltron After Show. We are having a grand old time tonight.
We are.
It is Season 2, Episodes 5 and 6. We are looking at the Eye of the Storm and the Ark of Tajir. With me is our Red Lion, Emma Fife.
That's me. I'm Emma Fife. That's my name. It's also my Twitter handle.
Our Blue Lion, Alexis Torres.
Hey guys, you can find me all over social media at atorres890. That's A-T-O-R-R-E-S 890.
Green Lion, Megan Salinas.
Hey guys, you can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N.
That's genius.
That's so good.
Right to our guest.
My friend Heather in high school is a genius.
Heather, you're a genius.
Our Cannon Green Lion and the voice of Pidge, Bex Taylor Cloud.
I'm the other Green Lion in this room.
Yeah. Yes. The one and only, please. Thank you for joining us tonight.
My pleasure. Nice to be here.
Yeah. And I am Black Lion Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. We have the live chat up. We have our hashtag ABTV Voltron. If you have anything to say, if you have funny commentary, if you have questions for our wonderful guests, throw them in the hashtag, throw them in the live chat. You may well get a shout out. I see someone in the hashtag has something to say.
Oh,
what
yeah.
We got, Alexis?
It just says hashtag Black Lion host first world problems. I thought it was adorable.
I think it's just Black Lion problems.
Yeah.
I identify with Shiro trying to get you people to work.
What are you talking about? Can't tell me what to do, Space Dad. Space Mom.
Dude, that is Space
Quickly
Parents.
Become canon.
No. Space
like,
Dad.
Did you see Josh's shirt?
In here with a shirt. Yes. That said number one Space Dad.
So I have to tell you guys. He has everything. Number one Space Dad, like everything.
I have to tell you guys today, though, someone tweeted a fan art of Kanan Jarrus from Star Wars Rebels at Freddie Prinze Jr. with the just the words Space Dad. And Freddie Prinze Jr. retweeted it with hashtag Space Dad. So I tweeted at Josh being like, Josh,
take back your territory, down. Josh.
What is happening?
As far as responsible adulthood goes, Shiro is actually probably the better dad.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
No contest.
You're not biased. Three of the four of us are also on the Star Wars Rebels panel, so that's like...
The problem is that Shiro doesn't have a Hera. I mean, I guess Princess Allura, but he doesn't have a Hera to kind of like.
He also finds her slightly alluring.
Yes!
Hashtag Shalora. And now all of the shippers are going to be in our comments going, oh god, they ship Shalora. Everyone knows Sheath is canon. No, she's not canon. Chance is canon. And then people are going to wonder how I know all of these ship names.
Can we just, for a quick second, talk about Clance?
Because I just like watching when all the plant shippers blow up. It's my it's favorite amazing. Thing.
Well, we had some of that this episode. So we had Jeremy in for the first couple episodes this time around, and like the entire chat was just like losing their minds. And I was like, chat, I need to remind you guys that Jeremy does not write the show, so he has no control over whether or not your client's dreams come true.
Absolutely not.
However, I have to say that the writers of this show, much like the writers of many a sports anime, they know exactly what they're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
right.
they give you just enough to, like, keep those fandoms going.
What cracks me up is, like, fans this season are like, oh, they played for what we wanted. They paid attention to what we were saying about season one. I'm like, guys, we wrote it.
You can always tell who kind of knows how the animation pipeline works and who doesn't.
Yes.
The people who are like, yeah, they totally animated our ships. They wrote that 3 years ago and voiced it last year.
Though I do have to say, I did think it was very interesting. Jeremy was telling us that you actually do a little bit of ADR work for the efforts on this show, which I think
much
is so cool.
Guys, Steven is so good at it.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, all of them are really good at it because they know what they're doing.
Right.
But Steven is so good at it. Like, I've watched him do just a run of effort work, and I'm just like, following. So good.
Like, he walks out of the booth 10 minutes later, I just finished the entire season.
That's
the
like, I'm going to be here for 6 days.
Yeah, that's the one.
I love it.
Just let's take a breath.
I think we're already space dad's recalibrating. Give me a minute.
So Zarkon from nowhere.
Yeah, we're like, I really like that these two episodes, first of all, go really well together.
They do.
And also show just how well this show is suited to the Netflix format.
Oh, yeah.
Because we come right after the events of last week, and then we also have, like, we're able to show the consequences of, like, hey, being on missions all the time, you know, causes a lot of wear and tear on our protagonists.
Exhausted Hunk is my favorite.
Because he makes cookies when he's tired.
Yes.
That is terrible.
I actually, for me, when they were all, you know, sort of showing the wear and tear of having been working kind of nonstop. For me, the person I related to the most was actually Pidge, when she's like, I'm so tired, like, my brain has stopped working, because that is how I feel basically all of the time.
Same.
If anyone's ever seen me at, like, 11 o'clock at
over
night.
The
people who play Overwatch with me late at night, I'm like, they're coming at the left side. And everyone's like, you mean the right side? That one!
Yeah. I'm really mad at this.
The one that makes an L.
See, I would blame it on exhaustion, but I totally have a pair of shoes that have, like, L and R on the toes. And it wasn't exhaustion, if we're being real.
Yeah.
I feel so much better about my own life now, because I do have to do the thing.
Totally. I mean, that's what it's there for.
Yeah. Everyone is listening on iTunes. We are making the L's with our hands. Just like, yep. That. That's why it is. We need to go right. Okay.
Someone that doesn't make an L.
In my family, it's always, you need to go right. No, other right.
Yep. There is no my, your, other right.
Speaking of my, your, other right, we had an Emperor's New Groove moment.
It's my favorite.
So good.
You're pushing too hard. You're not pushing hard enough. Bow chicka.
All I'm saying, again, guys,
you broke me.
Welcome to the show.
It's not me.
Something terrible, and then it breaks Alexis. Like, I'll bring in a Tumblr theory that's all about, like, Hero's arm is actually draining him of quintessence or something, and she'll kind of lie on the ground crying for a while.
Yeah, so I broke you first.
All right.
I'm so happy right now.
For our listeners, you should describe what happened. So, through the power of your imaginations, imagine Bex curled up in a ball on our
on
guest
sofa.
That's what Katie did just now.
Well, Doc and I started about an hour ago.
All I'm going to say about that theme, this is going back to my thing about the writers know exactly what they're doing. You know, they could have been doing anything in that scene, but nope, they were going to the pool, so.
Yeah, so they're in
they were half naked. It was fine.
He's determined to keep that towel on his head.
Seriously, it was impressive.
Yeah. I just didn't understand why it had to be there. I was like, come on, buddy, I understand that, you know, you gotta be different, but just
he knows that
towel.
His hair just sets Lance
That's
off.
That's true.
Just wasn't right time.
I can't keep a full-size bath towel on my head. I don't know how he made manage the hand towel.
red line magic. I don't know.
Oh, it's all that hair. It's the power. Stuck to all his
hair. Yeah, it's the
product.
Power of the space mullet. Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but like I grew up swimming. Like my grandparents had a pool. I was on the swim team when I was in high school.
You would have been able to figure out that pool.
I'm saying that if I got down to a pool and the pool was on the ceiling, I would have been livid. I would have been like, that's not how that works.
They worked so hard for it, and they finally get down there and it's stupid Altean pool.
Yeah.
And then they wind up in it for half a second during an attack.
I don't think they liked it
very much. Best half second, I don't know.
I have so many questions about Altean culture just based on their pool.
Also,
I want them to explain that. Okay. Like, I will ask Joaquin when I go next time. Like,
yeah,
like,
why,
I need to know.
Why does the pool only fit your ankles?
And like, I know that they can change their height and stuff, and hands can change, but can they change that much? And wouldn't, I don't get it.
That's like half your weight.
Yeah, Chica Knight in the chat says, Keith and the stupid Altean pool almost killed me.
It almost killed him, too.
Yeah. Catherine Nguyen commented on those great animated abs.
Last week we talked about whose job was it to undress Shiro, and then this week they undressed themselves.
Yeah,
so,
and then also, you know, Jet and James in the chat both point out that... you guys are crushing it. Anyone who's playing the drinking game at home, you're...
Oh, God!
Wait, what's the drinking game for this show?
I gotta know.
It's for our after show, specifically.
No, I know. But
yeah,
what's
Katie's offense is
Mark,
so far...
Can you do me a favor and pull that up? I know it was from an email last Sunday.
Yeah. Pulling it up.
You are a wonderful.
So Mark is going to put that back up there. Katie's offenses thus far have been my offenses. Have been breaking somebody and also mentioning Tumblr.
Two shots.
Oh my God, that's two shots.
And we're not even all the way in yet.
Responsibly.
We recommend that you
drink responsibly. Drink responsibly.
Bud Light, which is 98%
water.
Or just
the hospital.
Or just
water. That's what I usually tell people to do. I'm like, I'm not holding back. Have fun.
Please drink responsibly. We need you all to come back and watch next week's after show as well.
I mean, the hangover person... No, I'm just kidding.
Just messing with you. So, Altean hangover cure.
But anyway.
Upside down pools. I don't know.
Honestly, I feel like Coran has an Altean hangover cure, but I don't want to try it.
Maybe I know.
I
would love... I actually would love it if that was a plot line on the next Ultronic.
Altean hangover cure.
Lots of questions about Altean culture. Now, one of which is, what kind of drinks do they have? Because their program
is the hair tonic stuff.
No, but like drinks, like alcohol
that
was.
Mm-hmm. But like grown up drinks.
Things that aren't terrible for you.
You're listening on iTunes.
Oh, Mark's got the show for a kid's show.
Mark's got the drinking game.
God has the drinking game.
I can read off the rules.
Yeah, that's hard to do.
Audio listeners, it's for those brave enough to take on this challenge, take a drink every time Avatar the Last Airbender or the Legend of
Korra. That was another one that was an Avatar reference was made. So,
Two, Katie gives her crew, mostly Alexis, nightmare fuel from her Tumblr escapades.
Mm-hmm.
Three, a pun is dropped that upsets Megan to a level of walking off.
Oh my God, that's
what a bender!
Yes,
the Galra are referenced alongside their symbol, a dumpster fire.
We have to explain that to Beck. She doesn't know what that is.
I feel like
it's rules.
Rules
first.
We have two more rules. Five, the shipping community for Voltron gets a shout out. And six, Katie says, I'm bonding with you. So, first of all, I'd like to apologize to all of our listeners that we lost tonight.
So, if they're not
this
smashed.
Is our yellow lion, Mark Donica, who is wonderful.
Reporting in from the console.
And this was made by Jeffrey on Twitter, who is at 33Jet, JETT. So, follow him, let him know how drunk you are. Please drink responsibly for the love of God. And we've decided that the Galra Empire is a dumpster fire.
Yes.
Oh my God, just, so it is.
And that's just what we call it now. It's amazing.
It's you cannot escape the dumpster
fire. So there are a few shots happening right now.
Yeah, there's many. Many.
I'm so sorry.
Many
so
freaks. So we should
sorry, not sorry.
Actually, yeah. Talk about this episode.
Sorry. Yes. I'm having a case of the slipperies.
I feel like it's like Altean shingles.
I know. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I actually appreciate that on Altea, clearly men and women alike basically have to go through menopause.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Oh my God, though, that Koran shimmy was just everything. Yes.
This entire episode was just an extended hot flash for
yes.
it.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I want this so much.
This for menopause, you stop leaking, and for these, you start.
No, but it's like getting a hot flash.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
It's insane.
You're leaking elsewhere. It's fine.
I've got the vapors.
No, I think that's like an absurd case of the vapors.
Sorry, Mom.
We love you, Mom.
Is your mom watching this?
But,
oh, I'm sure.
Oh, my God.
My mom watches everything I do.
My parents do occasionally and make sure that they tell me that they have no idea what I'm talking about. But I think I did a great job.
My parents occasionally watch what I do. My mom straight up stalks my Instagram. Yeah. She refuses to get social media, but she'll look at my Instagram.
Oh, yeah, my mom has an Instagram and a Twitter mostly to stalk me. Also, Chica Knight in chat says, I love that everyone agrees that this was Koran's Yuri on Ice episode.
Oh my God, yes!
Totally. It was that count as a Tumblr reference?
Oh God.
What's that?
Does that count as a Tumblr reference?
I mean,
because
listen,
of how much
I will
Tumblr
tell you,
loves
I, will
Yuri
t- I was going to say, I will tell you this. I am not a Tumblr person, but Yuri on Ice brought me back to Tumblr simply for all the beautiful fan art, so...
Oh, Tumblr will not shut the heck up about Yuri on Ice.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I feel like Yuri on Ice is a Tumblr reference.
Yeah, no, straight up.
And then, getting back into the episode.
But yes. I'm sorry, it's so bad.
So hard.
I'm gonna...
It's not your fault, it's all of us.
I'm going to say one thing critically. I love these episodes, and like I said, I think these ones in particular demonstrate, again, why Netflix is the perfect format for this show. I will say, though, I'm like, that is super convenient that all of these things just happen to align up perfectly.
Jim,
this is a nitpick.
I actually space liked logic. That they did.
Yeah, no,
correct. Hashtag Voltron Science.
Yeah,
I actually liked that they did.
Well, I had a teacher when I was in college who said coincidences, like using coincidences to like move the plot along isn't good writing. And, you know, take that for what it is. You know, everybody has their own opinions about the best ways to move a story forward, but it's always something I've kept in the back of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see it, I have to remind myself, no, sometimes it's okay.
But this is the thing, though, is there was a lot of effort that went into those coincidences, which is why it didn't bother me. For example, the reason that Pidge knew that, oh, wait, actually, I think we have some of that substance on board, is because she had spent the time to try to learn to speak Altaian.
She put in the effort.
Yeah.
And so it made sense to me. Like, I liked that she had actually, it paid off. Yeah, she, like, got attacked by a bear and a couple other weird things.
I can't even imagine Godzilla. What Altaian schools are like.
Really quickly, something that's awesome. The voice of the AI for the, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
You're a holographic Summer. Rosetta Stone.
That's the one. Thank you. The voice is Cree Summer, who's also the voice of Heather.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't she have amazing range?
She's incredible.
She's
just amazing.
I can't keep up sometimes because she does so much.
Right?
Yeah.
She's so
good. We need the voice.
Well, because
she
does the voice of Hagar. She did the voice of the AI.
Well, Josh is the same way, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Josh and Cree, just when they're at a loss for voices, they're like, just one of you. Just come here.
Eeny, meeny, miny, you.
Voice on battle. I want it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and she also did the voice for the Balmerin grandmother. And I'm sure she does, like, just a ton of other voices that we don't even know.
She does most of the computers.
That's amazing. That makes sense.
There's a bit part in one of the later episodes where it's like, oh, yeah, no, this is the Cree Summer voice that I grew up with.
Yep.
But we'll get there.
But I do agree with you on that. I did love everything else about it, but I thought the glass cookies was a bit of like,
wait a second,
the last time that Hunk has gone cooking with just whatever the hell he can find in the alien space kitchen.
Yeah.
And
so
this isn't the first.
Sort of like sugar to him. Yeah. It's fine.
And this isn't the first time that Pidge has expressed frustration with not being able to read the local moonspeak.
Oh, yes. Well, I identify with Hunk because when I was super stressed in college, I was like, I'm going to make pumpkin butterscotch cookies.
I benefited from that.
And my tears will be some of the ingredients.
The salt is coming from that.
But the second he makes those, you're like, well, that's how we're gonna fix all of our lenses.
Oh yeah, no. Oh well, you know, but that's it. It was never a secret.
Correct. No. It's not like they were keeping it from you, like surprise twist.
It was just like, how are we gonna get twist? And it's not like, oh, this is the replacement we've needed all along. It's like, this is our last ditch stopgap measure. And if this doesn't work, we are literally all going to die.
It's been just an excuse to animate Krang going.
Well, I will say that too. Again, as critical as I can be about like plot devices and things like that, I will say that constantly making the team get by the skin of their teeth does an excellent job of keeping the stakes high at all times.
Oh my gosh, it totally does, and especially because you know we're not far off from a point. Actually, it's at the end of this episode that Shiro's like, yeah, we've been running away from them and they've been coming after us, so they're totally not going to expect us to go after them. And I was like, maybe you shouldn't go after them.
Opposite of what you should do.
Yelling at my team. Like, opposite yourself. No!
Oh, it's so ridiculous.
That came across as more of a, we will turn this around and take the fight to them once we do X, Y, Z.
You know what that is?
Let's survive.
That's a Benedict Arnold turning a retreat into a charge.
Yeah.
Are you saying Shiro's a Benedict Arnold?
No.
Or saying he's a sleeper agent?
What? Benedict Arnold was actually a hero.
Space
Dad! He was a hero of the Revolutionary War before he became a traitor.
That's true.
We're on the Turn After show, so
yeah.
Turn is coming
we
back
live
soon.
Here?
So.
How about for that plug?
Woo. Hey!
Like it. No shameful plugs here.
But yeah, no, there is a going theory that Shiro is a sleeper agent, so.
Whoa. That is dark.
Thank you!
He doesn't know, like, to be like,
well, yeah, a sleeper agent.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know I'm
See,
a sleeper
what I'm
agent.
About? This is what I have to deal with all the time. My brain is broken all
every,
the time.
Every week, just a table of negativity. I'm sorry.
Seriously.
Right?
Like, I know things go wrong in the Voltron universe, but God.
Yeah.
Oh, no. My heart will break. Listen.
What's the one that really broke me? Remember? We were talking about
it? We have a solid theory
the
about...
The one that broke me was Keith, and, like, when Pidge is talking about, let's do this for our families, and then it's like, he's an orphan, and it's all those things on Tumblr of him, of those going,
you know how I feel, why would you say this?
Like a slow zoom on Keith's face.
Well, last episode, he had that moment of, oh, God, we're connected to everything. And yes. The first time you felt connected to someone who wasn't sure.
And they immediately made fun of him for it.
Yeah. No, the one that I broke you with, and you will appreciate this,
is the whole,
okay, well, you know, we've been blowing up all of these, Gondra ships.
Oh, no.
Who's to say that those ships weren't carrying prisoners? Pidge might have accidentally killed her family.
Oh.
I'm so mad at you.
So mad. No, we were lying.
So mad
that was
at you.
Happening. Oh, man. Like, oh my God, I still have
see,
the gift.
You didn't break there. Bex here, you broke Pidge.
Yeah. She came up with that with her brilliant, brilliant black lion mind.
I don't think they'll go there because this is not that kind of show. We go into full Walking Dead territory, and we've already killed Steve in Walking Dead.
We don't need to kill him again. I like his with his face
when
all in one piece and
things.
His eyeballs in his pockets.
Yes, thank you.
So the Shiro sleeper agent has generated a hashtag in the chat, which is hashtag Winter Paladin.
Oh no!
What?
The arm! No!
He's got the robot arm and everything!
No!
Oh, there's been fan art.
No!
This is so refreshing.
No. I do that every week.
Can I though?
So our absolute darkest theory, and we should honestly save it for predictions because we do need to talk about these episodes. But our darkest theory, just since you seem to be enjoying all of our dark theories so much, darkest
the darker
theory
the better, man.
Is that he's a sleeper cell agent. He's going to be activated at some point. They'll have to, you know, that's when we'll get the kind of classic pilot setup that we know from the original
show.
And they'll save him, and then he will almost immediately after being saved
make the heroic sacrifice
and die anyway. And that is our I think darkest theory.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is the darkest Voltron timeline.
Darkest Voltron timeline.
Is
that a community reference? You win everything. God, I love Hobbit.
You did say Hunk was your favorite. What up?
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. I was. Yep. It's spot on. Yeah.
Not gonna lie. It's fun when we do mic checks every now and then. Troy and Abed in the morning.
We really need to talk about these episodes.
I don't know if I can make it.
I'm not a good influence. Okay. I will say this was my little like gripe with this episode. Also, a thing that I thought was really interesting was the fact that, okay, so obviously like they lose the ability to jump through a wormhole because like the technology on their ship is not really working. Then on top of that, you know, Zarkon just keeps popping out of nowhere and pursuing them. But it was interesting to me that Hagar and Zarkon had different objectives here.
It beautifully just kind of brought to light his obsession. And the fact that he's this, everything for him is about the Black Lion and about Voltron. He loses sight of the bigger picture when it comes to Voltron and the Lion. And like, he could easily have won if he just listened to Hagar and shot down the
Lion.
Right.
The Black Lion is the one that got away.
It's so true.
Lost love. Another breakup?
But it was also interesting to me that, like,
someone new.
When the Black Lion is under his control, like, it was interesting to me that nobody thought, like, and obviously, like, they wouldn't do it because they'd be abandoning Shiro, but it's like, why don't we just, like, unform Voltron, and then the rest of us can focus on, like, saving Shiro from the outside.
Get the Black Lion away.
Right, instead of all of them just being like, man, this sucks, we're just gonna suffer through it and hope we can break free.
Because it seemed like, in last season finale, it seemed like it was a lot easier for him to get the Black Lion when it wasn't a part of Voltron.
I think it's so if you scatter.
So
if you scatter, you make it that much easier for him.
It's like, even if you can get farther alone, the connection is still stronger.
But I was with you on that, because I was like, what are we doing? Just put him back in the castle. Yeah. Talking about Altaian culture, I have a lot of questions regarding backstory here, because
I feel like
again,
that should be another point on the drinking game. Is every
I
time
have a
you
lot
say
of questions.
I'm sorry, please continue. Is a mainstay on this show.
But, oh my god, I'm with you though.
But clearly, he's obsessed with the Black Lion. I have, and at one point, Allura is like, oh, it's me. They're tracking me somehow.
Their logic doesn't
make sense.
It makes no sense to me at all. Given a lack of context, because we, at one point, he was the pilot of the Black Lion. We don't know a ton about what happened in the past, but at one point, he and her father were probably friends. So it's like, what?
Oh, when we got to figure out which lion, Alphor piloted.
Yellow.
Which I thought was awesome.
The yellow
one.
I assume it was yellow,
because we got that flashback of him in yellow armor.
Yes. But that's not something that's been confirmed in the show so far, but it looks like that's most likely what
happened. I thought so, because of Karan, like, in the yellow himself.
When Karan was like, it's time for me to pilot the red light, and his whole speech to him, it's like, I'm not worthy of being your paladin, but since you've chosen me.
Yes. I love that Reg had this moment of
just one lap.
I got this. Don't worry about it. Did anyone watch that cartoon G-Force that was like the Gatchaman thing?
Yeah.
He looked a lot like one of the Gatchaman
characters. He reminded me a lot of the Great Saiyaman from Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that in the chat.
I was thinking of Zero from Mega Man.
The little V on his helmet references. Made me think of Beautiful Joe.
Yep.
So really, any sort of character where they would have had to have yelled Henshin at some point.
So we're a table full of nerds.
Talking about giant robot lions, for goodness sake.
What killed me watching this is Shiro saying, I forgot how intense Zarkon's connection to the Black Lion is, and my note on that is, and yet the truth evades you.
Dude, Pitch flat out says it.
I know. Yeah.
And no one listens to Pitch. And Pitch is the genius.
It seems to be a running theme with her. No, she'll be in the middle of saying something.
I'm gonna state the obvious, which is, number one, obviously Zarkon already has a connection to the Black Lion itself. Also, Shiro spent a lot of time in like captivity of the Galra. You don't think maybe like he's personally implanted with the thing?
Like an tracking device? Seriously, they never explore that.
That was the theory before
It's Shiro. I mean, I feel
God
like
bless him.
He's just such an angel baby that even if he did have a tractor ship,
Even if he did have a tracker chip, somehow he would be able to turn it off just by being spaced.
No.
Cinnamon roll.
He's literally too good for this world, too. The point too where my older brother...
he's too good for every world.
No, right when season two dropped, he's like, I'm getting ready to start. Shiro's a dead man walking. I was just like, oh.
He has so many death flags, though, as a character.
Now, every time. Like, so now, let me ask you this then. Bex, were you familiar with, like, Golion and Voltron, like, before you were cast in this show? Like, did you know much about, like, the story of the old show?
No, I kept myself purposely
okay.
in the dark.
No, absolutely. Well, and I mean, and the writers that worked on it, like, they very specifically were like, yeah, we didn't really rewatch it. We just, like, wrote what we thought it was because it was
awesome.
And
honestly, that's
for
the best.
Yes. I like that they did it that way.
It
feels purely
fresh. I
completely
agree. But then, so did you know then that, like, in the story originally, like, Shiro dies.
Yeah, I heard.
Okay.
It didn't know, but there have been, sure, like, five different iterations.
That's very true. Yes,
and it's really hard to tell, like, especially if our creators did indeed take anything from any of the iterations, you can't tell.
You know,
there's
so many.
There's somewhere there's Shiro, there's somewhere there's what's the
Sven.
Thank you. There's somewhere there's Sven. And it's like, you have no idea, like, one of them lives, one of them dead. I don't know.
Yeah,
Sven went to the hospital.
Yes, fine. Well, then it worked out fine because Shiro actually came, like, his brother or cousin or something.
Anime was big on having twin brothers to replace.
They totally took that from soap operas.
Yeah, correct.
I mean, this feels like a
series did it recently.
They did.
Double
X.
I'll take it. So what I want to know then is, because
I always question, because I did watch Voltron when I was a kid. Like, I always wonder, for people who aren't familiar with that story and who are, you know, coming fresh into this, like, do they see Shiro as being as doomed as I do? You know what I mean?
So interesting.
Yeah. As someone who came in fresh.
Wow. Yeah. I want to see, like,
oh, yeah.
Someone in the comments section, please talk about this. I'm so curious.
Yeah.
That was a really good point.
Yeah.
I will say, though, I love that they are in no way beholden to everything that came before, because then if they were, we wouldn't get, like, the only other valid thing apart from Zarkon's connection to the Black Lion that could very well be connecting them is the fact that Keith is clearly, at least in some capacity, connected to the Galra in some way, because he's got that knife, he's having crazy dreams, he doesn't know much about his past, or we don't know much about his past,
we don't know his past.
But he's worried enough that he's having dreams that he's in Galra armor. And
without giving any spoilers, I can say that this season really does get to explore.
It does.
To explore.
Yeah, it was great.
And
they wouldn't be able to do that if they're like, well, it has to be just like the old show.
I agree.
Don't ever make anything just like the old version.
I want to thank Tumblr for the Galra Keith fan art.
Because they're adorable.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so cute.
You realize you're going to get inundated now. You're going to get inundated.
Does he have little kitty ears?
Oh, I know.
He's adorable.
He does. He's so cute.
I like the purple.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I want it.
Oh, that's perfect.
So I'm getting some results from the question regarding Shiro. So let's see. Right.
Chat's on like a minute delay.
Okay, great. So Playful Panthers, first of all, says, actually, you can tell there's a bit of all the versions of Voltron in this, which is great. Ali Surette says, as someone who didn't really know Voltron before, I don't see him as necessarily doomed. But she did watch Voltron Force, which she was not a fan of.
Was anyone a fan of Voltron Force?
Chica Knight says, after the show literally started with him getting captured by aliens, I'd say Dead Man Walking is a big theme for poor Shiro.
Yeah.
Timberwolf,
he's the champion.
Yeah, Timberwolf, I see Shiro as doomed, even though
we did it at the same time.
Yeah, even though this is my first intro to Voltron was once again Voltron Force.
Who's watching Voltron?
Yeah, so basically
children.
I would say that for small children.
Oh my god.
Basically chat seems to be kind of like split. Oh, Catherine Nguyen says Shiro was visually designated to be doomed. The edgy haircut, the scar, the alien arm.
He is like the epitome of tragic anime protagonist
with his
character design.
That's actually pretty true. It seems to me that it's a pretty even split, actually.
Well, and again,
let's say white hair equals death.
Again, one of the other wonderful things, too, about the changes in this new series is that Pidge gets to be a girl.
Yes! Yeah!
love, and love, not a love it.
I called that like two though. Episodes in, and I was so excited. Like, even though I had a feeling that was going to be the case, like, as soon as I saw that photograph, I was like, oh, no, this is the sister. Yeah.
So I went either girl or trans.
So when you were initially auditioning for the role, did they tell you, like, tomboy or straight-up boy character, or how did they describe Paige to you when you were auditioning?
They straight up gave me the Pidge is a girl disguising herself as a boy to find her family.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Which I thought was incredible.
Yeah.
But don't do the Milan, like, I'm making myself have a deeper voice.
Yeah, but the thing is, Pidge never read as a, like, oh my god, I'm a girly girl, he's dressed like a guy. It was more like, okay, this is what I have to do, and I find it comfortable.
And I don't, and this is not spoiling anything about the next episode, but it is something that I do want to address that I thought was really cool that they did on this show, was, so basically, the plot of the next episode, I know most of you in the chat have seen it, and again, I'm not spoiling anything, is they go to a space mall. Basically,
it's literally called
my favorite character shows up, and there is a moment in that episode.
No,
Kaltenegger. Oh yeah,
yeah. My favorite.
But I loved the moment where Pidge has to go to the bathroom, and she's like looking at the boys' room and the girls' room, and she can't decide. Which one
I've
should
been actually,
go in?
I've been all over Tumblr watching people's discussions on this, being like, they did this on SpongeBob 17 years ago, and then people saying that this is an actually funny, non-offensive trans joke, and I'm like, look, find representation where it fits you, and don't ever take that away from someone else.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful because people who are non-binary, people who are genderqueer, anyone who doesn't fit societal norms, if you're a tomboy even sometimes, you go to the bathroom and you're like, oh god, if I go into the girls' room, will they give me dirty looks? I don't want to do that. But if I go into the boys' room, it's uncomfortable either. And so it's an actual valid concern for a lot of people.
Yeah,
it's beautiful to see
that. I was going to say, and to me, even though, yes, it was a... It was a visual gag.
I absolutely
gag, but it was,
read it as an alien gender.
But
what
it was,
are
yeah, but it was in yeah. good. But
it works
it was, exactly. It worked, and it was in good taste, and it is a real thing that happens. I mean, you know, one of my best friends, she is basically straight. She's married to a man, but like, she's never felt really girly. You know what I mean? And so, like, for her, it was like when she saw the character of Sailor Uranus and Sailor Moon, like, that was like life changing for her, because she's like, oh, here's this girl who is a girl. But, like, she's not girly, but, like, she's still part of this, like, awesome girl team. And, and so that was, that's a really important thing, I think. And I thought that was a really lovely moment.
Yeah, and I think the thing that I want to say just to anybody who feels like it's one way or the other way, it is allowed to be both, and I think it's the worst thing in the world if you say that it has to be your way and you're taking representation away from someone else. Let them have something that they connect to.
Yes.
Yes. And everybody in the chat definitely agrees.
Yes.
Lots of applauding.
Aww.
Yeah. So, but I am also with you on that, Katie, where I was like, oh, it's probably like a joke of like, I don't know what kind of alien bathroom it is. But I love that we can get
how
both
do these
worlds.
And I
work.
Love that, like, when Keith, what, I can't. But like, Keith walks out of
come
one later.
Next week.
Yeah.
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 We'll
talk about it.
But again, talking about
Keith. We have 15 minutes left.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
No,
you're wrong episode.
Don't be silly.
Stop it.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, you.
How dare you offer valid opinions? Oh, my God.
Talking about Keith and talking about, like, kind of, you know, people not necessarily feeling like they fit in, we get a very interesting discussion between him and the princess when they essentially run off together, because, like, he's having a lot of these feelings and anxieties about what he fears that he is, and she's like, yep, the Galra are awful
garbage
people.
She's just confirming everything he's afraid of.
Yeah.
Despite any evidence to the
That's
contrary,
like the worst feeling
they're
ever.
All terrible.
Well, and I think it also just... I think it's also very strong writing from a character perspective in regards to Allura, because basically, like, even though she is a good person, everyone has their prejudices.
Of course.
Well, and the Galra Empire essentially committed genocide.
Sure.
There are two of them.
They destroyed her planet. Again, we don't know what the inciting incident was that caused original Team Voltron to break up. Thank you, Mark, for bringing up the dumpster fire.
Hey.
Was that Spencer Harris that did that for
I
us?
I don't remember.
Oh, it's wonderful.
It's beautiful. But, I really do enjoy that.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Oh, on the shirt.
No, it yes, was Charlie B. Yeah.
Well, good thank bye. You, Charlie. That oh, was, yeah. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. But so, yeah, but it's also insanely personal. She's been asleep for 10,000 years, yeah. But for her, it probably only feels like it's been a month.
And that yeah. comment that she makes is like they've had 10,000 years to overthrow him. And it's like, it's not that easy, yeah. especially yeah. having to work from the inside.
Yeah.
Trying to take down a genocidal maniac.
Yeah. yeah. Who has lived for 10,000 years, which yeah. as far as we can tell from wow. the reaction to that is horrifyingly long lived for Agalra. Mm-hmm. And has crazy black magic on his mm-hmm. side. Yeah. Like, guys,
yep.
we're playing on hard mode.
It's like, also, logic or not, it prejudice doesn't really bow down to logic. Mm-mm. So, mm-hmm. yeah. I agree with you. I think it's really strong character writing and, yeah. and everything yeah. to have Allura like that.
Listen, the yeah. chat, I will tell you one thing. They do not ship Keith and Allura at all. They're like, they are best friends.
Not that shit is Allura.
Period.
They have a bromance. That's
totally romance.
Well, again, you know, that's what the old show did. So if this show went that way, no, it'd be I'm, very predictable.
I'm delighted that they're not. Though I did, and it was mentioned in the chat as well, I did, I think it was funny when they ran off together in the night, and Lance was like, "Do you think they're like sitting in the shade?" Yeah, and then when they
do you
came
think
back,
that metaphor's lost. Right,
exactly. And then when they came back, oh, totally. and Keith was in the Red Lion with Allura, and he's like, "Yeah, we're together." And he's like, "You're together. You're together.
Together.
Together."
Lance, stop.
I have that reaction a lot. Lance, stop.
Who doesn't? What I loved about this, just the bit with they told me. Yeah.
What's happening?
It's set out of love.
Mm-hmm. They shook sure, the pot yeah. that had the fuel line still on it.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that Chekhov's gun finally came into play.
Yeah.
And the thing exploded. Because we oh, had that.
No. It could work.
Or, yeah, it could work or it could explode. And you're like, oh, yeah, we had that. Oh, shoot, it's actually exploding now.
Not once, that's it.
And again, this is another example of things like getting by the skin of their teeth. Like
every
that
time.
Could, in other shows, like that would have been the way they get back. But here, having that explode and then having them like barely survive the explosion and have to like use his jetpack to like, you know, find their way
and
to
have the Red Lion go, well, yeah. I'm bonding with you.
Totally oh my god, I think we've hit everything on the list. You just said it.
You did that on purpose.
I did that on purpose.
You did.
Son of a
drink.
Hopefully there are no hospital visits tonight.
But again, it's a wonderful thing from a dramatic perspective because yes. now, like, he has to hold close to somebody who was literally just, like, tearing him down without knowing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, I legitimately had a moment when they first like got ejected from the pod when it blew up. I was like, oh, it's gravity.
I was thinking The Martian. Like, I was saying that point. I was like,
AKA movies that like make you terrified of space.
Yeah, every UV shot from the visor. I love when they do, yeah. they've done visor shots in this season, and I love
yeah, they're
them.
Always
I
good.
Love getting to see how the inside of the helmet works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just details.
Yeah. They're really good at those.
Yeah. Oh, tell me about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, we need to basically zoom through the arc of Tal'Jir because we
can I say just like how kind of offended I would be if I was a member of Team Voltron and they were like, the people I came to save were like, I'd feel better if there were five of you.
Shiro handled that like a champ, though.
Also, the duly noted.
So much sass, like, underlined.
Those, and those aliens, it was. I thought it was so funny that they, like, brought back that very, like, 80s
right?
voice sound. So basically, yeah. they sounded like...
Jim that Cummings. Was Jim Cummings,
yeah. Yeah.
I love that
you sounded, but they sounded like 80s sound wave.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, that they were huge and had little teeny hands.
Yes. Little T-Rex hands. But I love how, like,
someone
it doesn't matter.
Photoshopped Donald Trump on that.
Oh. I wanted to say something! I was sitting here dying, and I'm like, I can't.
No, you can't.
I can.
I have no shame.
This is a safe space.
Have you seen my shirt? I have no shame.
Also, yes, I want that shirt.
I need that. I have Kip Creations, K-I-P-P Creations.
Doing it.
That's
amazing.
Doing it.
Nice.
Doing it.
But you're tweeting about it.
All right, yeah. I just ordered myself, like, three feminist shirts from Etsy, including the one that says a girl has no president, so...
Hey.
Yes, that's amazing.
I like that. I saw right. Maisie Williams wearing it on Twitter. I had to get it.
I feel you on that. Yeah. Totally.
A friend of mine came to the studio wearing a Punch More Nazi shirt.
Yes. Kind of a life goal of mine. I know that's horrible. No, because but, it's like yeah. putting myself in danger, but I don't care. I want to punch him.
I help
scene.
You. I volunteer.
We a team. We a team.
Yeah. We a team. Can I, while I'm in a Pidge costume, can I punch a Nazi?
Yeah, of course. Yes.
Do.
I would say dream. If you didn't, all of your fans would be disappointed.
Yeah.
Just find somebody cosplaying Man in the High Castle at Comic-Con and you'll be fine.
Okay, let's Perfect. Be nice now.
Well, don't
ask
hurt
for anyone. Permission yeah. okay, wait, and stage
back to
Voltron. The
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway.
I forgot what my thought was.
But I will say that, like, no, something, okay. you mentioned it while they were flying through space. It was, like, beautiful. One of my favorite shots of the entire series is in this second episode, and that's the scene where they're cutting the side of the ship while the lion is rotating, while yes. the camera is rotating. It was absolutely gorgeous.
My cousin decided that he wanted to do the sounds for the jaw blades, and he kept going, pachew, pachew. I'm like, oh, so
you
cute.
Sound like us in season one.
Yes, I know. It's bam, bam, bam.
Hi, Zach. I hope you're watching.
Aww.
He's not.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, it's always interesting when you have CGI in a 2D show, and yeah. sometimes it works and they integrate it really well, and sometimes it really sticks out. This worked.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
this
some of these shots,
works.
I could be like, yeah, that's yeah, definitely CGI, yeah, but oh, dang.
I like, too, that in the past few episodes, we see Galra, who are on the outskirts of the mm-hmm. Empire, who have essentially been cast away from the
yeah.
hub, and they're like, I'm going to get back in there. Like, yeah. I'm going to prove my worth.
I want to be in the room where it happens.
I mean, yeah. It is. It's really interesting to see sort of, like, the Galra, which are obviously this very, like, militaristic society, mm-hmm. and so basically from their point of view, it's like if they've been
like the Fire Nation.
Yeah, yeah.
Shut!
So they've been cast to the outside of it, and all they can do from their perspective to get it back is, like, you know, super alpha
their
macho
beats.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have to restore their honor.
Yeah.
Another shot.
Mohawk was ready to back out of this, like, I have supplies for you.
Oh my god.
You know, I want to see some, like,
I love that. To die for the Galra is the greatest honor.
Yes, that made me so happy.
It was a Mummy Returns moment.
Yes.
You two must sacrifice yourself.
Yes.
I was
yes.
totally having a Benny moment. And I was like, this is amazing. Also, this is cursed. That is cursed. It's beautiful.
What's it with you and curses?
But I think the only thing about this episode that kind of irked me a little bit is this should have been Hunk's special thing.
Yeah.
Because we unlocked the Yellow Lion's power. It was a big deal. And then it really wasn't a big deal.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
it was about Keith, and it was about his connection.
Well, and on top
security.
Of that, too, it's
honestly,
like
this season is about Keith.
Yeah. And in addition to that, you know, the people that you were seeing kind of, like, make a huge impact on the planet immediately was the combination of using the Green Lion and the Blue Lion's power to, like, repair the mm-hmm. cracks so that the Yellow Lion's power had time to manifest, basically.
Which,
but yeah, there was not enough.
He's so cute, though, when he's describing it. He's
I
like,
know.
I got these little claws.
Yeah. It reminded me of, like, first season when his face turns into a cat.
Yes. And I will say that that was in fact Hunk's idea. And I like that they, the idea of, you know, sewing up the planet with the
yeah.
vines, basically, and then
yeah.
using the ice to freeze it. And I like that Hunk is portrayed as being a very, like, intelligent character.
Hunk, you gassy genius.
Yeah, like not from a, he's not like book smart like Pidge is. Like, he's not.
I would argue that he is. He made an algorithm.
He's, yeah. Pidge he's got his moments. He's book smart, and he's a little less street smart.
I was going to say, he's
and
like...
And they balance in,
it
like,
does.
A beautiful
and I,
way.
And I think that... And I like that he is... Because, you know, like, obviously, like, he has sort of, like, a he's, like, very in tune with...
Well, he's a big teddy
earth
bear,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, he's very in tune with the Earth and his, you know, a very empathetic and compassionate character, and I just really...
He's my favorite.
Yeah, I like that, you know, we see the strengths of that character, and in such a way that, like... You know, Pidge or Lance would have never thought
yeah.
of the idea that he came up with.
I love
yeah,
that
and
we
I see
evade
a lot.
The big dumb guy first.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Thank
well,
you.
He's
so smart.
Yeah.
Especially
because most of the time, at least I know that we haven't, like, gone through, like, the majority of the season, but the fact that most of the time with Hunk recently, we haven't really gotten enough of his smartness. Because remember, we talked about it from first season that he can just make algorithms in his head like this. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
so.
And he can just identify the Fraunhofer.
Yeah,
line.
Exactly.
No
so.
Big deal.
He built a tracker for an alien element
yeah.
in a cave with a box of scraps.
Exactly. So I feel like we haven't had that in a while, so it was nice to see him being, I mean, not saying that he's useful, but you know what I mean? Like,
but yeah,
like,
no, I get it.
Here's this insanely smart, you know, basically diagram that I created. Yeah. Also, have some cookies while you read it.
I know. It's perfect. And
I mean, he's the man everyone wants to bring home to mother.
Heck yeah. Corinne Yee says, Hunk the Hufflepuff. And
he is.
He's the Hufflepuff.
Real.
I have
absolutely marked Pidge as Slytherin for whatever that's worth.
Because it's the best house.
Exactly.
Wait,
you're talking to the resident Gryffindor.
I don't know how that works.
No, Lance is Gryffindor.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
We've got Lance two Slytherins at the table.
Nice.
I'm pretty sure Shiro is also Hufflepuff.
I'll take it.
You know what?
I would sort him into Hufflepuff for sure.
Allura's Ravenclaw.
Yeah!
I would actually also put Coran as Ravenclaw.
Yeah!
In that weird sort of way.
Oh, yeah.
Who haven't we
seen? But he's like a Luna Lovegood Ravenclaw.
Keith.
Where he could totally also be somewhere else.
Who's Keith fall under?
Slytherin.
Yeah, yeah. That's my inclination, too. I mean, it's not like I'm trying to claim my favorite character on the show for my own house, but like...
Just because he might be part Kara doesn't mean he's evil.
No, it's just because he's emo.
That scene where...
where Pidge is...
First episode where Pidge was reenacting everything.
So oh, my God. Emo.
That mustache! Mustache. Crazy words. It's really accurate, too.
Yeah.
We have been asked to return to talking about the episodes.
Is that what happens to you, just out of curiosity, if you happen to be in the recording studio by yourself? Is that just what happens? Because you guys normally record as a cast, right?
Yeah, whenever we can, whenever everyone's around. As many people as possible, if they're in town, just thrown into the booth. It's amazing. I love it. They're the best people.
Yeah. Aww. I love it.
Don't tell them I said that.
No.
Not a word in your
head.
Next time we have someone in the studio, we will definitely tell them, yeah, Beck said you suck. I don't know.
Yeah. We totally don't have a video backing that up.
No.
Saying the exact opposite.
Alternative facts, guys.
Too real.
Listen, we are.
I love you so much.
And that's how the Galra Empire was built. Do we have any final thoughts about these episodes? Because we're hitting about that point.
Yeah, it was a great...
Do we have a heart out, engineer?
It was a really nice... the two episodes went very nicely together. Again, I agree with Megan, everything you were saying about this fitting the Netflix format extremely well. Really, really enjoyed that scene in particular between Keith and Allura when they were in the escape pod where we got to see, like... You know, Keith struggling with his identity and Allura being like, the Galra is the worst. And it's like, whoa, girl, like, maybe have a slightly open mind.
So weird.
Like I said, I keep wondering whether that's about the Galra as an entire race or about the personal betrayal of a former family friend destroying their planet.
Oh, I'm going to go with absolutely
go
the latter.
Yeah.
I'm going
with
both.
Yeah.
Little of column A, little of column B.
Yep. Six
of one. Half a dozen of the other.
But yeah, no, these episodes were really good. Again, just constantly keeping the stakes really, really high. And I feel like we're rewarded with keeping up with that level of tension with the next episode.
Yeah, there's some really good rise and fall for these. I love that we have slow development, that we can pick up from previous episodes, and that we can plant the seeds of something that won't come about until 8 episodes down the line. And it's like, oh, yeah, I remember that character. Oh, yeah, I remember this. Oh, wow, that thing that they were hinting at just exploded. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, remember that thing that literally happened 12 episodes ago?
Yeah.
Here's the payoff.
And, like, they mention stuff just, like, a line in passing in season one, and it pays off in an entire episode in season two.
Yeah.
That's really cool to me.
Yeah.
The fact that they can do that.
Also, space is weird. There's a planet where it loses its outer layer, and the next layer is acid. Why?
Why? It evaporates, and then it becomes a new... I did like that it wasn't like, oh, no, what are we going to do? It's, no, we planned for this eventuality. We know how this works.
They just
it was an outside party that came in and screwed
We were going to get out of Dodge.
We were going to be fine, and then they just decided to screw us for absolutely no reason.
My brain hurts so much.
Aww.
What'd you do?
No, just my brain hurts. There's so much. It's the universe. Space is overwhelming and terrifying.
Can you imagine getting like 11 seasons of this?
I'd be happy,
but at the same time, you would kill me.
Aren't you a Supernatural fan?
I know, shut up. Like, I want to talk about it, okay? I'm already
9,000 seasons of Supernatural.
Yes.
I feel like anyone who grew up with DBZ or Sailor Moon Moon or One Piece or any long-running
Do not put Sailor Moon in the same category as Dragon Ball Z and One Piece in terms of number of episodes. Sailor Moon is nowhere close.
If it's over 52, it's a lot.
No. Correct, but I understand what you mean. There's a difference between, like, a series with 100 episodes, which is considered a success,
God, Naruto, and, just like,
a series with 800
episodes. And a series with 800, which is considered
insanity.
Something.
Yes. Did Naruto end
something.
No?
No.
No.
Okay.
There was a line.
Thank you.
They rebooted it.
Oh, my God.
Inuyasha ended because they ran out of patience.
Anyway.
Final thoughts on these episodes. Final thoughts on these episodes.
I liked them.
Final thoughts.
She's not biased at all.
Well, I do have to agree with you about the hunk thing, where it felt like it should have been his episode.
Yeah.
I feel like that happens to him a couple times, where it's like he has this big, like, epic suit upgrade, mm-hmm. like in the first season too, with the multiple lasers, mm-hmm. and it's kind of overshadowed by something that happens next.
Yeah,
you know.
I do want to remind people that the same thing happened with Keith last season, when mm-hmm. everyone was complaining that no one got to see Keith, and then he's this season.
Yeah.
No,
so if you don't see enough of your favorite character this season, you're going to see.
Wait
that.
A minute.
Yeah, because there's
stick around. There's more.
I mean, just given the way this one is going, and where season one went, season one felt a lot like Pidge's season, because it's like we have this whole story about her hiding her identity and her quest for finding her family and learning how to be a part of a team and kind of adopt this group of people as her new family. But then we also have, and we've got that other stuff in the background. Here we're getting hints that the remainder of the season is going to focus a lot on Keith and his identity. Mm-hmm.
Let's face it, when we get to the Shiro season, we're all going to be wrecked.
So season 3 could be Hunk season.
No,
we don't know.
I'm like, are we going to get like 5 seasons for all
And I think that it's also like, you can tell in this season that even though it's a Keith season, there are still going to be like episodes that focus on each of the other characters and some dilemma that they have. And I think that is going to continue throughout the entire series, is that's just something that they do really well, is they share time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also think, relating to Hunk being a major part of the show, and this isn't just bias for me talking,
sure.
but he's also the type of person that would share how he feels pretty bluntly.
Totally.
And he'll get to a point where he'll be like, guys, I had all of this personal growth and everybody was focusing on Keith. I think he would bring that up.
That's correct. Just come on.
Yep.
I got this cool magical girl transformation sequence and no one noticed.
Yeah,
no.
I would love to see that, by the way.
Yeah. iTunes, we
was so many.
Yes, we need
yeah, we've
we,
like oh, six.
We're gonna,
there's a lot.
On, we're going to talk about
six?
It. Sorry, guys.
Sorry.
What's happening?
Thank you so much for everyone who has gone onto iTunes, who has subscribed to the podcast, who has rated us 5 stars, who has left a review. When you do that, our producers do go on and check those reviews, and, you know, they see that people like our Voltron After Show, decide to keep it around for another season, and that keeps us on the air as an after show.
It's true.
Additionally,
thank you,
when you leave reviews, when you leave ratings, they put us higher on the iTunes ratings chart, so we show up more quickly in search terms. I am losing all of my words tonight, y'all. I have the best words.
Oh! We're like number 2 if you search for Voltron.
Yeah,
right,
that's
right. We are. It's pretty great.
Keep it up.
We want to be number 1.
We want to be number 1.
And of course, if you leave a review, we give you a shout out on the show.
Aww, yeah, who do we have? One. So many. The last show was on January 26th, so I'm guessing the one that was published on January 26th wasn't
probably.
So Chat Dad, they're all 5 stars. One of the few times the remake is better. Dandy Liger, thanks for making me wash my dishes. Caliejo, time for Voltron! Many exclamation points. X do not play X. Love this podcast. First time from Tumbling Block. ABTV's animation podcasts are the best. G_off 2886. So thank you guys. We don't have time to read all of them because they're long and wonderful. One thing I do want to address, if you are not subscribed to this podcast, you may notice that you do not see episode 1 of this season in your iTunes feed. Okay. If you are subscribed, you got it. It's no problem. I don't know why this is. RSS feeds are weird. I have had this happen with podcasts before where if you're not subscribed, for some reason, one of the episodes just disappears from the iTunes store. So subscribe to the podcast is what I'm saying.
Also, if you leave a review in an iTunes store, that is not the American iTunes store. We have trouble finding it. You have to change your iTunes settings. It's all sorts of crazy. Mm-hmm. So if you do that, or if you leave a review in Google Play's podcast feature, please screen cap it and put it in the Twitter hashtag #ABTVVoltron. We still want to see those. We will read them out on the show, and we really super appreciate them.
Yay! Yep. Mm.
And we're getting played off.
Yep, we are.
I'm like, where is that thing?
That's gone.
There's a fan that's hanging out in the hall.
It's correct. Yeah, thank you so much for coming in. Do you have any projects that you're working on that you can talk about?
There's this, I don't know if you guys have heard about it. It's this show on Netflix. It's animated. It's called Voltron.
Sounds weird.
It is.
I don't know if
that's my cup of tea.
Giant robots.
Yeah, right now that's about it. Waiting. Scream got picked up for a season 3. Got 6 episodes. Waiting to kind of get started on that.
Yeah. You're super.
Can you tell she's a pet?
I had no idea.
Oh, Scream's so great.
And where can the people go online if they want to keep up with you?
Oh, God. I have not made it easy for anyone. I don't have just, like, one name for all of them. So, like, on Twitter, it's IbexWebex. On Instagram, it's Bex_TK. I don't know. I'll tweet something or put something on Instagram. Just go to one of those. You'll find the rest.
Well, thanks again. It's been a blast.
Yeah,
thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you guys for having me.
Always come back. Anytime.
Emma,
just come
where
back.
Can the people find you?
At my name, Emma Fife, EmmaFyffe. If you guys like animated things, you should check out my Sailor Moon podcast. It is called Love and Justice.
Woo!
If you search for Sailor Moon in the iTunes store, it is also the second result. Also, if you guys like space, you should watch Pencils and Parsecs, which is a show that I do every Friday night on Hyper RPG. We stream live at 9:00 p.m. on twitch.tv/hyperRPG. It is a Star Wars RPG, and it's awesome.
Breathe.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. You can find my breathless butt on ATORUS890. I apologize for all the Twitter, Instagram stuff about my wedding. That is what it's going to be.
Never
for the next
apologize.
Yes.
Please.
Yeah.
So. She has the most beautiful stuff picked out.
Yeah. Really great. We can talk about it later. But yes, okay. You can follow me there. I will be also, hopefully because wedding stuff is starting to die down a little bit, I will get it back on Twitch because I'm going to be playing Mass Effect, the entire series, for the first time. So.
Dang.
Yeah.
So Romance like, Garrus.
I'm excited. I'm just going to do all the things.
You're going to love it.
Yeah.
Femme chef.
All right. Sorry, continue.
Sorry.
All right. I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I am also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out. Be sure to also check out the Shadow Remastered, which is a fan-made revival, kind of the Shadow that I'm in. If you want to hear me try to act, I'll just sink under the table now. So enjoy that. Bye.
And I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on all of the social medias and YouTube at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. If you like reaction videos, they live on that YouTube. Arrow is back. It's on Wednesday. Star Wars Rebels doesn't come back for a couple weeks. That's on Sundays. And the Ruby season finale is next week, Thursday, 7 p.m.
Woo!
Also, I have become something of a regular on a Geek and Sundry's Gather Your Party, so that's Friday at 6:30 p.m. Tune in to watch us do stupid stuff. It's a video games. It's a ton of fun.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for watching, and we will see you next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.